Thanks, Steve. Jake Youngers, Research Associate at the University of Minnesota. Today I'm going to talk about our efforts to increase grain yields of a new perennial grain crop, intermediate wheatgrass. And I right away want to acknowledge co-authors, Lee DeHaan, who's at the Land Institute, Kevin Betts, Craig Schaefer, and Don Weiss are all also at the University of Minnesota. I'm going to start by going through the rationale for the experiment and the project, build a case for perennial crops. Then I'm going to introduce you to our focal species, intermediate wheatgrass, and go through some of the details of our research, and then wrap things up with a summary. So there are a number of environmental issues related to annual row crop agriculture in the upper Midwest. Things like nitrogen leaching to groundwater, soil loss to erosion, phosphorus loading to lakes and rivers, and greenhouse gas emissions. But there's been a lot of research in the last decade or more that suggests that perennial crops have some environmental benefits compared to annual row crops. And that's because they have these deep, dense root systems that prevent nitrogen from leaching. They're better at, more efficient at capturing nitrogen that's been applied to them. They provide continuous living cover throughout the growing season and into the winter, in the case of the upper Midwest, which helps prevent soil loss. They have longer growing seasons, therefore they can utilize water at times when a lot of our annual crops in the upper Midwest can't in the early springs. And also, we don't have to annually till perennial crops, therefore leading to the potential to sequester carbon in roots and soil organic matter. But where can we find perennial crops on the landscape now? We know that they have these environmental benefits, but where are they? Well, perennials were an integral part of pastures and grazing lands. However, we've seen a consistent decline in the acreage of pastures and grazing lands since the 1950s. Some perennials have been used as forage crops, but similarly, we've just seen this consistent decline in forage crops. Some perennial crops were also bred for bioenergy, but bioenergy markets have not been very good as of late, and producers can't make a profit by growing some of these bioenergy crops. The grain sector is one agricultural market where we currently don't have a perennial crop, but there's been a lot of discussion about how it could benefit food security and the environment, as well as discussion about the challenges of breeding a perennial grain crop. One of the top candidates right now is this intermediate wheatgrass. This is a cool season perennial forage crop that was introduced in the United States in the early 1900s. It has a lot of traits that make it a great candidate for domestication into a perennial grain crop. First of all, it has relatively large seeds for perennial grass. It has a deep, dense root system, so it's very winter hardy, especially in Minnesota. It produces a substantial amount of above-ground biomass besides the seeds, which makes it a potential dual-use crop, which Steve will talk about after this. In the last 15 to 20 years, there's been a breeding effort that's been led by the Land Institute to increase seed size and grain yield. And the Land Institute has trademarked any product that's made with the seeds or grain from this new crop called Kernza. The first widely available Kernza product just came out last month, actually. This is an organic beer that's been brewed by Hopworks Brewery in Portland, Oregon, and it's in a partnership with Patagonia Provisions. So this is available on the West Coast now in Whole Foods stores, Washington, Oregon, and California. But before we can have large-scale deployment of this new perennial grain crop, we need to make sure that growers have all the agronomic information they need to consistently have a profitable yield, which leads me to our objectives. The first objective is to assess breeding advancements for high grain yields of intermediate wheatgrass. So we compared grain yields of these advanced lines from the Land Institute. I'm just going to refer to that crop as Kernza, to an existing forage type of intermediate wheatgrass called Rush. It's a cultivar. The second objective is to determine the agronomically optimum nitrogen fertilizer rate for maximizing grain yields of Kernza. And the third is to measure biomass yield, forage quality, and ethanol potential of the Kernza biomass and compare that to Rush and Switchgrass. We initiated an experiment at 5 locations across Minnesota. This is a split plot experiment. The main plots were crop type, Kernza, rush, and switchgrass. Kernza being the intermediate wheatgrass that's been bred for high grain yields, rush is the forage type, and switchgrass is a warm season perennial bioenergy crop. Within each crop type, we've applied 5 different rates of nitrogen fertilizer, ranging from 0 to 200 kilograms per hectare. The locations in the south were seeded in the fall of 2011, but because of inclement weather, we delayed seeding in the north until the spring of 2012. Because of this difference in the seeding date, I'm going to show you results from these two sets of locations separately. The nitrogen was applied in 2013, 14, and 15, and we have 3 years of grain yield data in response to nitrogen fertilizer rates. We collected grain and biomass from the Kernza and the Rush intermediate wheatgrass in August at seed maturity, and we collected just biomass data from switchgrass in October, so no grain harvest for switchgrass. And then we scored lodging at harvest, and we used a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being no lodging at all, 10 being completely flat stands. So to determine the agronomically optimum nitrogen fertilizer rate, we fit linear and quadratic functions to a yield response data. So here you will see either grain yield or biomass yield on the y-axis, and then nitrogen fertilizer rates on the x. And if the response was quadratic, we identified the point on that curve where grain yields were maximized. And the x point at that at those coordinates is the agronomically optimum nitrogen rate. So that's the nitrogen rate where grain yields were maximized. And we can also estimate what yield would be at that optimum nitrogen rate. So I'm going to show you those results for Kernza. But their first objective was just to compare grain yields of Kernza and the Rush intermediate wheatgrass. So on average, across all the locations and years, Kernza yielded 108% more grain than the Rush. So the advancements to increase grain yield and seed size from the breeders definitely translated into fields. So Kernza is yielding twice as much grain as the Rush type. And this is just data from the north locations in 2013. Here we have grain yield on the y-axis and nitrogen fertilizer rates on the x. And this trend was consistent for all years. Now I'll present to you our results for our second objective, determining that optimum nitrogen rate to maximize Kernza grain yield. I'll show you a series of panels, and on the y-axis is grain yield for Kernza and nitrogen fertilizer rate. And I'll show you results from those northern locations and the southern locations in 2013, 14, and 15. So one thing that stands out is that grain yields did not respond statistically to nitrogen fertilizer rates in the south in 2014. However, at all the other environments, the quadratic fit was best, so we therefore could identify an agronomically optimal nitrogen rate for all of these years and locations. So here, I'm going to present to you what those nitrogen rates are to maximize grain yield and what the estimated grain yield is for Kernza. For both the south and north locations in 2013, 14, and 15, and what we can see here is that the optimum nitrogen rates were at times as low as 61 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and were as high as 96. Just to give you an idea, the average Minnesota corn farmer applies 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So we identified a couple of major agronomic issues while doing this study. The first is that at high nitrogen rates, we observed a real decline in grain yields. And that was primarily due to lodging. So these stands are sensitive to high nitrogen rates. This is an intermediate wheatgrass stand that is lodged. Lodging usually occurs at heading. So this lodging, therefore, interrupts pollination and seed filling, grain filling. And for all years and locations, the nitrogen fertilizer rate was indeed significantly correlated with the lodging score. Second agronomic challenge that we observed is this decline in grain yields through time. So as you can see, grain yields were highest in 2013, but as the stand aged, yields at all nitrogen rates declined. So this decline in grain yields was not a function of individual plant mortality. In fact, we think it was the opposite. As these stands aged, the stands became more and more dense due to the recruitment of volunteers from shattered seed and from rhizomes. So there are more and more individuals in a stand occupying that inter-row space. And as the stands became more dense, we observed fewer and fewer seed heads. We don't have data for the number of seed heads per individual in the field, but here we do have the harvest index, and you can see that the harvest index indeed declined with stand age. Biomass yield did not. And so our third objective was to measure and compare biomass yields across three different crop types. So here you can now see on the y-axis is biomass yield in response to nitrogen fertilizer rate for three different crops. The Kernzas, the gray line, the rush forage type intermediate wheatgrass, the gold line, and switchgrass. So in 2013 in those north and south locations, biomass yields were relatively similar across all the crops. 2014, they were still pretty similar, but then by 2015, the switchgrass yields began to exceed those of the intermediate wheatgrass. So we can also predict the agronomically optimal nitrogen fertilizer rate to maximize the biomass yields of switchgrass and rush, and to see, then therefore we can compare the nitrogen needs or demands for these three different crops. So for switchgrass, the agronomically optimal nitrogen rate was as high as 150 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in 2013, which yielded about 12,000 kilograms of biomass per hectare. In comparison, rush required 117 kilograms of nitrogen to reach peak biomass yields. Peak biomass yields were about 10,000 kilograms per hectare. And now I'm going to show you the AONR for Kernza is still for maximizing grain yields. What we're doing here is just estimating what biomass would be if we fertilized that system to maximize grain yields. So we see that biomass yields were still very high and comparative to switchgrass and rush, comparable to switchgrass and rush, even though we were applying less nitrogen fertilizer, a fertilizer rate that was designed to maximize grain yield. And one thing to point out here, these are all the agronomically optimal nitrogen rates and biomass yields through time, is that the switchgrass, the response was linear in 2014 and 2015, suggesting that we did not even have enough nitrogen in our range to meet the demand for switchgrass. So in summary, the breeding efforts to increase grain yields of intermediate wheatgrass have been successful, and they have translated to field-scale studies. Kernza requires less nitrogen fertilizer than annual grain crops to attain those peak grain yields. Lodging can reduce grain yields at high nitrogen fertilizer rates, and that these grain yields of Kernza decline with stand age. But Kernza biomass yields are similar to these dedicated forage and bioenergy crops, rush and switchgrass, even when we apply nitrogen rates to suited towards maximizing grain yields. So with that, I'd just like to acknowledge our funders, and I can take some time for some questions.
In
the itself. So let's just look at this. It sells 61 and 96. I think some of that could have been related to background nitrogen fertility at those sites. That was the first year that we applied fertilizer. That's probably had something to do with that. Yes, so that's probably, well, that's probably a result of stand age. Most likely. So we do have the nitrogen concentrations of the biomass, so we know how much nitrogen we removed annually in the biomass. So it'd be interesting to see if we're removing more biomass or more nitrogen than what was being applied at those rates. Yes.
Do you think breeding efforts to strengthen the stem to prevent lodging could actually result in higher agronomic optimum for nitrogen? That you were to actually, you know, you could actually apply 150 and get more green if it wasn't lodging?
I think so. Yeah. That's a good point. And reduced lodging is one of the breeding priorities now at the University of Minnesota. Folks who are breeding Kernza put that into their priority list. And we've also observed there's a lot of strange things with lodging. There's been a correlation between plant height and lodging. Taller plants lodge more, but also that the taller plants yield more grain. So it's a challenging issue. Any other questions? Yeah, Josh.
You talked about the declining stand yields a bit, and are there any focus on, you know, trying to figure out what's going on?
Yeah, definitely.
Renovate or?
Yep. We're initiating some new experiments. First is to prevent the decline in grain yields through time by keeping that inner row space clean, going in and cultivating in between rows in wide row systems, and then also altering residue management. And then we also have a series of experiments where going into old stands that have already been sort of sod bound and disturbing those stands, so going through and spraying herbicides into strips and tilling out strips at different levels of cultivation. To see if we can reinvigorate grain yields. So we just started that this year and don't have any data yet. We'll see grain yield data next year. Any other questions?